Welcome back to Business Resolutions with your host, Jorge Gonzalez.
Well, I'm back with Matoño. We were covering his father and what he learned so valuable from him. In terms of turning over the business to you, I think it was in 83, and he was 83 years old. How was this very my impression from outside, it was a gradual, but how did that happen? How did that transition take place? And what happened in 83 in terms of formally doing it and all?
Okay, yes, it was gradual because he was there with us. I came in 1970, my brother came in 1976. One thing that though he, I don't know if it's because of his age or whatever, but he always encourages us to make decisions, and he always told us that not to worry, that not every decision was going to be the right decision, but that the important decisions needed to be right, but that there was, that it was okay that, you know, we were going to make mistakes. And that was also, you know,
and even at that age, he was willing to take risks and encourage you to take risks.
He was always a risk taker, but a calculated risk taker.
Sure.
He measured. He did not make decisions quick, but he also looked and made his analysis. And he was willing, even in his 80s, to take risk. And as we went on,
what's an example of a risk that you think he took? I mean, I know the risk that you've taken. We can cover that. But what's an example of a risk that he came up with and you thought was?
Well, you know, he was 65 when he decided to buy VSR Green. VSR Green had the lines of Georgia Pacific, which was a company that helped Matos Santos grow tremendously in the 1970s. And he had the foresight of thinking at 65 to buy...
65 is young, Matoño.
To buy... That is correct. I can tell you it is young. I'm 64, so... And I'm doing basically what he did, but
I think you're worse. But we'll go into that.
but he went ahead and bought that business, took a loan. He had acquired three partners, and you know, to get into a new business, you know, I was not yet in the business, so he had to, you know, he had full responsibility and to work and make it work. Mm-hmm. And actually, at that time, you know, this second business was in a different location, so he was running two locations, going back and forth. But he made it work. And when I came in 70, he bought his partners out, and then, you know, from then on, VSR Green was integrated into Matos Santos.
And so I guess we didn't answer the question in terms of the transition to you. We got into the risk, and he showed you the risk, but the transition, it was gradual, you say, but in 83, what anything formal and what happened?
Well, in 83, I believe that a new inheritance law was passed, and from 1981 on, we were working on the transfer of how would be the best way to transfer the business to the next generation, which were my brother and my sister and myself, and we made a buy and sell agreement with an agreement that we would, if needed, be support them when they were totally retired if it needed. It was not needed, mm-hmm. because he had good foresight and made very good investments, and he was able to live. He probably made more money as retired than before. But
yeah, the other, I mean, you know, not only, I hate, you know, because I keep on going back to it, but he and your mother are just such incredible people. At 90, 95, 97, You know, they go to the concerts, all kinds of concerts. They travel all around the world. You know, people that are 30 get tired and don't go. They're there at every con. They were there at every concert. And your mother, I still see her at the symphony. I mean, the incredible amount of energy and drive and commitment to the things they love is incredible. In terms of decisions that you've made, I think the major one is to go from distribution. You got into distribution, I guess, more with the selling the food to the
well, actually,
fast food things. Was that a big move by you, or was that him?
That was by me, my brother and myself. In the early 80s, Kentucky Fried Chicken were fast food business or quick service restaurants were starting to develop, came to us and asked them to help to see if we would be interested in distributing their dry products for them, or bringing dry products and serving as a warehouse and selling them. And we did that. That's how we got into the food business, because up to that time, Mato Santos had been a paper wholesaler and distributor of janitorial products with Georgia Pacific. Then in 1982, we started in that business, distributing products for another chain also called Golden Skillet, of only dry products. In 1987, Kentucky also approached us and told us, we're thinking of closing our distribution center. Would you want to do our distributor of our perishable products, our frozen products? And then that's when it's funny, because 2 years before, when we built the facility where you and I are now interviewing, our good friend, who was also the designer, Kiko Custodio, asked us about if we thought that we ought to prepare the building for frozen refrigerated products and at least do the floor insulated and prepared. And we said, never will we get into that business.
Famous last
and
words.
And it's funny, because in 87 I went to Kiko, well, remember when in 84 I told you never? Yeah. Well, now we are going to, and I need to refurbish our facility to be able to have freezer and cooler space for this business. And that's how we entered. And after that, then it just snowballed. We got contracts with Kentucky with Church's Chicken, and we had contracts with Baskin Robbins, and down the line, Subway. And that's we got in there. And then after that, we were offered lines to do redistribution of other refrigerated products in the retail business.
And then another, so that was a big step, because that was a huge expansion and a huge new business and all that. And then the next step that I can think of is vertically integrating to manufacturing. And that, now talk about a risk taking and getting into it. How did that happen? Going from distributor to also a manufacturer of food products.
Well, in 1998, we bought J.M. Freiria, which was a distributor of deli hams and cheeses. And there were not sliced hams, but we represented a company called Fudain in Denmark that make these products. And the sales manager of that company, Ben Simarowski, told us that eventually we should get into the slicing of hams, because he said that in the long run, Denmark would not be a source of supply, and that we should, that it was a good business and we should get into the manufacturer part of the business. Believe it or not, in 1993, we started looking at a company called Federal Packing that was a manufacturer of ham products. It was sold to another outfit in 1998. We were not able to reach an agreement with the owner in 93. It happened that that business went through different transitions and was the outfit that bought them decided that they only wanted to manufacture and wanted someone to do the distribution for them. So they came to us about distribution, and I told them, you know, that's great, but I don't want to distribute your product. I want to buy you. Oh, but we're not for sale. Okay. If you're ever for sale, give me a call.
Okay.
A year later, they came up to us and said, we are for sale. We want you to bid on our business. And that's how
we got into
the manufacturing business. At that time, our you know, it was the Serranito and Congusto lines, and we were distributing Atalanta in Puerto Rico for Smithfield Patrick Udahi. And part of our emphasis that eventually we would process those hams in Puerto Rico and slice them and make them. When we bought El Serranito, we hired as a consultant Ben Cimarosti, that was now retired, and he came to work as an advisor and consultant for us for 3 years in this process. And that's how the business developed.
But then you ended up buying another.
Well, another line that we were developing at the same time, that we had started developing before we were only a dry food and paper supplier, was the Every Dinner and Club Cup lines. And those lines, which we started in 1980, we developed our own brand and had contract manufacturers to supply our products. Eventually, in 2003 and 2004, our supplier at that time was in Venezuela, and when Venezuela had the downturn in their factories due to the economic policies of the president, we lost our supplier and we went over to China to see China was emerging as a possible supplier. And we then did a contract with a Chinese firm to do supply our Every Dinner line. But basically, at the same time that we bought Eurocaribe, the owner of this Chinese company called Hemfeng approached us and said that he was not able to continue, that if we wanted to become partners. So at that time, we also bought 80% of a Chinese manufacturer. Now we manufacture in Puerto Rico and we manufacture in China.
Well, let's take a break, and I want to cover, because some of the cultural things you have noticed in terms of differences in the Chinese experience. So we'll be right back.